all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Please be seated. This morning we hear that the day of Pentecost for us does not begin with certainty or control or even a clear strategy for the church's future. Instead, it begins with chaos and interruption. We heard the disciples are gathered in Jerusalem waiting as Jesus instructed them to wait. And suddenly there is a sound like a rushing wind and tongues of fire resting upon each of them. They began to speak in other languages, and pilgrims from every corner of the world hear the good news of Jesus in their own native languages. Luke names them one by one. The whole world is there, a collection of different cultures, different accents, different histories and ways of being in the world. And yet, somehow, each person hears the gospel in the language in which they can most fully hear and receive themselves as beloved. When I first read this passage in preparation for today, I thought to myself, this story has to be the reversal of the story of the Tower of Babel. But the more I sat with it, the more I saw something else. Pentecost is not the undoing of the story of Babel. Instead, I think it is the redemption of it. Because the story of Babel was never only about pride, I think it was also about fear. In Genesis 11, as the story of Babel goes, humanity says to itself, "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the earth." It's not simply ambition, "Let us make a name for ourselves," but I hear a kind of anxiety, "Lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth." It is a fear, a vulnerability, a desire maybe to manage difference by building something singular and strong enough to hold humanity together. So as the story goes, they construct a tower that rises in the sky. They construct unity through power and sameness and control. And in response to this, language is fractured. Communication breaks down, and their biggest fear happens. Humanity is indeed scattered. The scattering of Babel is not simply a judgment, but it's God's interruption of a unity that is built on fear and control. God's refusal to let humanity secure for itself by collapsing difference into sameness. And I don't think that what God has done was God being threatened by human ambition, but rather God not allowing a false unity to become closed in on itself. But from our reading today at Pentecost, let us remind ourselves what God does not do. God does not erase language. God does not force sameness on anyone in our story, and God does not restore a single form of speech. Instead, the Spirit does something more surprising. Many languages remain, but they are no longer instruments of isolation and fear. No, difference is not erased here. It is reformed into communion, into relationship. Each person still speaks their own language. Each culture remains beautiful and distinct, and yet across those differences, somehow people understand not only words, but what is behind them. not only speech but belonging. This matters because the early empire in this time already had a common language among all of these people, Greek. If communication alone on the day of Pentecost was God's goal, Greek would have been enough. But the Spirit doesn't speak the language of empire. Empire is any system that defines belonging through control, systems that sort people into categories: insider, outsider, citizen, foreigner, valuable, disposable. This matters because the Spirit is speaking differently. The Spirit speaks to each of them in the language of home, in the language of belonging. No, it doesn't speak the language imposed on others by power, but the language in which a person can recognize themselves as fully human. It is the language of their memories, of every single prayer they've ever uttered out of their lips. It is the language of a belonging that is deeper than political or socioeconomic identity. The miracle of Pentecost is not that everyone finally becomes the same and we can get along. The miracle is that everyone is addressed as themselves and finally can discover truly that they are no stranger of God. So Pentecost also then reveals something about God's life in our world. Unity is not sameness. Unity is relationship and it's communion. This is where I think the story of the Tower of Babel is redeemed. At Babel, difference collapses into fragmentation and fear, and at Pentecost, difference becomes the very place where communion is possible. And this pattern is not just something we find in Acts about Pentecost. We see it throughout Scripture. God calls Abraham into promise in a foreign land. God speaks through Moses, who says he can't speak well, so he cannot be used. God sends prophets to people who are resistant most of the time. And God enters the world through Mary, an obscure young person living in an occupied territory. Jesus eats with sinners, touches the unclean, speaks with Samaritans, and gathers outsiders in to friendship, into communion with God. Again and again, God crosses the boundaries that humanity assumes are natural and unfixed. And now, on Pentecost, the Spirit crosses one of the deepest boundaries of all that we tend to hold: our inability to truly recognize one another as the bearers of God's image. This is what salvation looks like. Not an escape from the world, but the undoing of fear and annihilation, isolation, and alienation. I'm trying to merge those two words together. The Spirit is not replacing Christ, but the ongoing presence of the risen Christ among his people. Pentecost is resurrection life becoming communal life. The love revealed in Jesus now takes up residence in ordinary human beings like me and you and ordinary human relationships. And that matters for many, many reasons. But it matters especially because we most certainly still live in a Babel-shaped world. We are fragmented by things like race and class, ideology, nationalism, fear, and isolation. Even within our own church, we can often speak past one another, not really catching what the other is saying. We have more ways than ever to communicate today. Send a text, send an email, put it on X or Twitter or whatever it is called now. So many ways to communicate, and still, it often feels like we have less capacity to truly recognize each other. And when we feel that way, the temptation is always to retreat into sameness, to form communities that just mirror us, reassure us, confirm what we already believe and what we already know. And while to a certain degree those can be important, we are reminded today that the church is called in a different direction. The church is not meant to become a place where grace is intelligible across difference. Not because differences disappear or because disagreement ends. On in Acts, especially we hear, there is tension, there is fighting, they're trying to figure it out. And that is what happens when you try to figure it out. But because communion with one another becomes stronger than our own fear, we find grace in the difference. Understanding in our reading from Acts today is not about translation or intellectual understanding. It is about recognition. It is the movement. It is the moment when people realize is there in their own hearts they are not strangers to God. And we are actually not strangers to one another either. This is why the work we are called to do, the work we do empowered by the Spirit, is so, so difficult. The Spirit doesn't make anything easy or orderly. We hear in our scripture that the crowd is confused at what's going on. Some are amazed. Some think the disciples are drunk. Something is going on. But whenever God does something new, there is always wonder and awe, and there is always resistance. Because the Spirit unsettles what we find familiar and what we want to stay in place. And then Peter stands and quotes the prophet Joel, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Not the powerful, not just the religious elite, not just the people who think like the disciples, not just the people who look and think and move and act like us. All people. Anyone. At Babel, humanity tried to secure itself by gathering power upward. But here, in this opposite direction, we see the Spirit moving outward into the world. This is not something that can be hoarded or controlled, no matter how hard we try. It is given, and it is free, and it is grace. And this creates a new kind of community, where strangers become neighbors, where difference is not erased, but held in communion and held with love, where every story becomes a vessel for grace in the world. This is what the church lives into each week at Christ's table. Different people, different history, different wounds gathered into one body, not becoming the same, but receiving the same grace. And it is what we will witness in just a few moments. Because today we will baptize one among us and renew our own baptismal vows. And in this moment, Pentecost becomes visible again. Not an idea or something that happened in the past that we are just called to remember, but as the Spirit's living work in the world and in our community. In baptism, God speaks again the language of love and home. A name is spoken, Water is poured out, and what is declared is not achievement or worth that is earned, but belonging and grace that is given. That Gwendolyn is Christ's own forever. And when we renew our own vows, we are not simply recalling promises that either we have made for ourselves or that those who loved us when we were young were making on our behalf. We are remembering who we already are in Christ, a people gathered together into one body across difference and by grace. This is Pentecost taking flesh in us again. Not the erasure of who we are, but the gathering of our lives in communion with God and with one another. That, I think, is the church's calling. Not to become a smaller version of Babel, full of fear and a desire for conformity, but a spirit-filled people where communion is stronger and grace is stronger than anything that comes our way. So the question that Pentecost leaves us with is not whether or not the Spirit is still speaking and moving, because I can give you that answer. Of course she is. The question is whether we are willing to hear God speaking to the voice of our home, in the voice of our own belonging. Can we hear God speaking in voices we were taught to ignore and to fear and to dismiss? Because Pentecost is not a single moment that happened in the past. It is the ongoing movement of God in the world that none of us can stop, even if we tried. Because the fire of Pentecost was never meant to be contained. It was meant always to be spread. Amen.